Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. Wait a minute. What happened here?
Time stop?
There it is. No.
Oh, we're back.
Somebody was using it as a stopwatch. So. Hi, it's Friday, October the 12th, 286th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
Good afternoon.
Thought I'd get a little passionate there for you.
Thanks. Doesn't happen often.
You're right.
Fortunately.
Yeah. We got a couple different things to talk about this afternoon, including the new Wild and Crazy truck.
Yeah, it's our training truck is here. Exciting stuff.
Oh, boy. It's got its rubber pads and training wheels on it, so we know what to look out for. And the guys are wearing their full helmet. So
it's big and red.
Yeah, just in case bricks fall, they won't get too hurt. We'll talk about what that means, some of the other things that are going on also in the area, and we'll recap the open house last weekend also. We'll find out if anybody slid down the fire pole when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humble Fire Chief Ken Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Bernard Shaw. Quote, use your health, even to the point of wearing it out. This is what it's for. Spend all you have before you die. Don't outlive yourself.
I like it.
It didn't rhyme, but we kind of got the gist of it there.
That's
anyway,
right.
Huh? Yeah. How was the open house?
The open house was great. Last Saturday, we had several hundred people come through down at our headquarters station where we had a number of activities, fire prevention, fire safe messages, antiques. We pumped our...
Oh, Stan showed up again?
No, but we did.
There's
a few others.
Okay.
Rusty was there.
Oh, well, okay.
And we now I won't be able to go back to the station after that. But we had our antique steamer that pumped, which was real exciting and is always a lot of fun. Just great for the kids. We love to see the kids and so many smiles on their faces. And it's a real, real fun time for all of us. So it was very successful. So we thank the public for coming out and look forward to doing it again next year.
Well, they were there looking for the celebrity.
The celebrity?
Okay, the celebrities.
The celebrities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Laidlaw did the voice work, right?
Oh,
so he's a...
That's right.
You are now a...
Second fiddle.
You're pretty close to a celebrity. You've been in, what, a year plus?
Yeah, it's been just over a year.
Yeah, see?
Seems like 10.
Yeah, back when you used to be concerned about me.
Yeah, a long
okay.
time ago.
Yeah. Ancient history. Move on. What is the biggest surprise when you have the open houses, Ken, for folks, either little guys or older folks? What's the biggest surprise that they have?
I think it's of course, the red fire engines and the size of them when they get up to them. They're just excited as can be. You put that with the... put a helmet on their head and you put them behind the steering wheel and the eyes just light up. And you know, every time they're out and about in the community and they see a fire engine go by, and now they get to be up close and touch it and be a part of it. And it's really exciting for them. And then that wears off on us too, because we get that joy that we see those kids and those big smiles, and it's just a lot of fun.
So it's a long-term recruitment program is what you're boiling it down to, yeah?
Exactly what it is. I think a large number of our current firefighters started out going to open houses at their local community fire station, got bit by the bug, and, you know, have never changed. And, again, the smiles are on their face as well when we see those kids, and it's just a great time for us.
I would think that... taking a bit of a long-term perspective, that really would be a way to be able to hook the kids.
It is.
And to show them, you know, there is a career path in the vocations, and it is something that is honorable, and it does require college education and da da da. But to be able to start working with them, is there any follow up that you guys do after the open houses to see if, you know, if you really are interested in, or would like to come back down and get a kind of a personalized tour of what we have, what we do, and learn more about this as a possible career, give us a call and Rusty will walk you through the, right. the process and give you the tour.
Right. You know, formally we don't have a specific process, but we do go out into the schools and we do our public safety fire prevention message. And so many of the kids that have gone through the open house then recognize individual firefighters that were there. They like to recite the things they learned and how they're doing. And it's a progression. As we are out in the community every day, these kids, again, relate to the firefighters, the fire department, the mission that we do, and they really carry it with them. And as they grow up, they still come back to the stations. And we encourage them as they get older and start to talk a little bit about, you know, how we became firefighters, those types of things, then the type of education that you need, the steps that they'll need to take to really lay that foundation for if they want to go into the fire service career. So, again, it's a progression. It starts at those open houses with those very young kids. But the enthusiasm and the excitement that they have really continues, and we do see a progression through the years, and eventually, as they say, they come back and they be firefighters.
And he says that with such a strange smile on his face.
It's worked out well.
Yeah. Do any of the open houses cause you guys in the department to kind of pause and either check off and remember when, or if somebody makes a comment to go, okay. Is it a learning experience for you guys also?
It really is. And, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with particularly certain types of calls out there that are depressing, that are tough because of their sad outcomes, and it's really a jolt in the arm. And, again, seeing these kids that are just so excited to be there and you can really interact with them on a much different level than we normally do, it's a fun time. It's not the emergency call where the pressure's on, where you have to perform under stress and you don't get a second chance here. It's just a fun time to be with the kids.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Fire Chief Ken Woods. Ken, some of the different challenges that are out there, certainly you've got to make life a little bit more dynamic for you. Tabletop exercises are one thing. Getting out in the field is another. I know you guys have had the opportunity to have some practice runs.
Right.
But is it as easy for you guys to practice? Well, not practice burning down a house because you're successful at it. practice the fire suppression techniques as you're burning a house down?
After we have a fire, we go back and we talk about it and we have a critique. What went well, what didn't went well, and specifically what we can learn and apply to our next fire that we have. All fires are unique based on the type of construction, the occupancy, time of day, the weather, all those types of factors. But whatever we can glean then from the actual run, the real thing, we come back, put that into practice, and hopefully mistakes we made, we don't make them next time, and other things we can really perfect and do even better than we've done before. So that's what we try to make every fire an opportunity to learn something new and then apply it for next time.
You guys have got those cameras that show heat source.
Right, thermal imaging cameras.
Yeah, I knew there was a fancy name for it.
Right, TIC.
Don't do that.
Thermal imaging.
No. Because then I'll think flea and I'll never remember it.
Sorry. It crossed my mind.
So you guys have got the camera where you can see for bodies. Can you stand outside the building and see?
Yeah, you really can't. You have to be in the same environment. You're looking through smoke. So if you're in a room, you can look and see the heat signature. For instance, if someone was up in an attic area, you could look up and see heat through the ceiling area, but it doesn't work well through glass and heavier construction. But
can you use it from outside on the sidewalk and detect a grow with the heat generated from the light bulbs?
You can see the heat signature from a structure.
So yeah. You guys, no surprise then when you guys come busting through the door.
Well,
can tell, okay, this is one we have to be on our P's and Q's.
We'll see different heat sources coming off in different places. The real problem with the grow houses is that you'll have the exterior wall, and then inside you'll have a whole new framework of walls and material that separate off the different grow areas. And that's the real problem for us, because when you're in a fire, the smoke, you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you think you're going in a door into a room, and all of a sudden you're up against another wall that's been constructed in there. And that's where it causes some real problems. Then you have lights hanging down, you have fans, wiring through there, and it's a real hazard for our guys to get caught up and trapped.
In a fire, mm-hmm. I know this is going to sound really stupid, can you smell the marijuana if it's burning?
Yes.
As part of it. So that's another trigger mm-hmm.
yeah.
for you to...
And you can smell it as it's growing too, if you've ever...
Right,
you
know, but if you got the black smoke coming out, that has a unique
mm-hmm.
smell to it
yeah.
also.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just any kind of, you know, a wildland fire has a completely different smell from a structure fire based on the type of materials burning, electrical fire, all those types of things.
You mean the chemicals in the air?
Yes.
Yeah, trying to be cool, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So pick right up on that.
So when you guys are getting ready to go through, either mm-hmm. the roof or mm-hmm. the front door, is that normal procedure? Break the camera out, do
yes.
a quick flash before you make... entrance?
It is. We want to try to get an idea of where the heat is, where that fire is burning in there. Our firefighters have working, our engines have groups of three, so it's a team, and when they go in, they have a camera with them. And that's what they're looking for, the heat source, but also the source of heat that a body will put off that's down in a room, and somebody may be trapped unconscious. We'll see that heat source, and that's what we're looking for, and help us to effect that rescue in as quickly as we possibly can.
Different size bodies, different size.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blob things on the camera.
Yeah, I could put my hand down on this table here and pick it back up, look at the heat from my hand on the camera, and you'd see my fingers right there that were leaving that heat signature.
So there's
on the
a
table.
Residual.
Yeah, there is some. Correct.
But you can tell the difference between, let's say, a dog and a child?
By the outline, you would. And also, the heat is measured really in different shades. So if it's something that has a low heat signature, would not be very bright, high heat, something that, you know, a body is right there, then you'd see an outline of the individual, and it would show a high heat source.
Let's take it a step further. Kitchen fire.
Mm-hmm.
That has gone amok.
Right.
When you look at a stove or a pan that might have been the source of this,
right,
will it glow significantly or glow?
Yeah.
Have a different color signature?
Yeah.
So I listen.
It
color
will,
signature
it will be,
than what I would have is the body lying next
yeah,
to it on the floor.
Yeah, and it'll have the outline of the pot or the pan, and it'll be very bright. And that's one of the why it's also a great tool for us is after a kitchen fire, for say, where you've had a fire, it's run up the wall, it may be behind the wall, we can look at the wall itself, look at the sheetrock, and know that that area is hot, and we need to open that up then and check for an extension of the fire, as opposed to years ago where we just have to tear it open and do a lot more damage. Here we can tell that, oh, that's not very hot, or this area it is, and we need to check further.
So it really is a pretty good tool. Do each of your rigs run with one?
They do. Each one has, and it's just revolutionized firefighting.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Ken, you got a new toy. Now, normally we say firemen and toys. We think Tonka, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
It's just a little bigger.
Maybe it's a barbecue. Maybe it's a little bit of spice, you know, or a brand new hammer. This one, though, seems to be a little bit bigger, a little different color, and can get you a whole lot wetter.
It is our training ladder truck in preparation for our new one that we're purchasing and will be here in March. It's a red tiller truck, so it has not only the driver in the front, but the driver in the back. And the Santa Cruz Fire Department was kind enough to loan it to us so we could get proficient, learn how to drive it properly before the new one comes, and hopefully not put any dents in the new one when it arrives. But it's something new, a new area that the department has never had before. The advantages of this type of truck is that it's highly maneuverable. And you'll see it around town in training, but you'll be amazed at where it is able to go and the kind of turning it can do. And then the other part is the amount of storage capacity it has compared to other apparatus. So two huge advantages for us. And again, that's why we purchased a new one, and we're going to get our guys up to speed on the training. It is completely different than anything we've had before, and driving the back of that is a definite change of what you would normally do driving. You're turning the opposite way when you're going around corners than the driver is.
That's got to be a little weird because you're leaning away from your turn.
Well, and then it takes you a while to get to the lean point because you see the front end may take a right, and then you're turning to the left, and eventually the lean hits you and you got to crank it around back to the right to catch up to the front. So it's a different experience, but again, that's why those trucks are so maneuverable and so valuable, and really we'll be able to go anywhere our small engines can go.
Into the alleys and things like that that
exactly.
Now you can't get out of? Does it have a reverse?
Yeah, it does have a reverse, and that's another, you know, real big training aspect of learning how to back up not only a tractor trailer, but now you're steering the rear, and then the driver is basically following your lead from the front of the cab. So that's a learning curve for us as well, and we'll be out not only around town, but also Redwood Acres parking lot, down at the mall, practicing in cone courses and getting all our guys up to speed.
No wheelies, right?
I hope not.
Yeah.
No.
How fast can something like that go? I know the big rigs, you guys don't run them. You don't run them that hard because you got to stop them at the intersections.
And that's it. They're very, very heavy. Our new ladder trucks that's coming in March, I believe, has a top speed of about 64 miles an hour, which you can get them up to that on straight highway. But we're never doing anything like that around town exactly because of the stop signs, traffic signals, and just trying to get the rigs to stop themselves.
Yeah, inertias.
Yeah, there's a lot of
pretty stern taskmaster.
Right, you put a lot of equipment out there, and it really gets heavy.
As you're working with this, when do you you said the new rig will show up in March?
Correct.
Will this unit, I mean, if you're out training, can you respond using this thing?
No, we can't. The ladder is non-operable. So
you won't go to a response?
No, it won't go to a call. The crew that's on their normal apparatus will be training, and they'll get off the trainer and hop on their regular rig and respond on the call.
Flea circus.
Yeah.
Everybody off.
Yeah, a little bit of a fire drill there. Right.
I would think that this bad boy has a chance to have a huge wow factor.
It It does.
If you want to really work this thing.
It really does. It's very unique. You do see them in some of the bigger cities. A lot of places in California now are starting to acquire them because of the value that they have with the maneuverability and the storage capacity. In fact, the manufacturer says that they build about 65 a year, and the majority of those go to California cities. They're really catching on in California.
Can your standard rigs run the alleys in Eureka?
They can. The engines, the ladder truck, no, that we currently have. No, it can't make the curves.
So this is a new tool in there.
It is. We don't like to put our apparatus in alleys, but we can definitely get it down alleys and through to other streets, and because of the maneuverability. So that's really the key factor.
Oh, it's maneuverability is the concern, not having a building land on it? I mean, if you get a fire,
yeah,
right, and the wall releases.
Right. We try not to park where a building's going to land on it anyway.
Oh, so you're not,
that's one of the
you're not shooting 4 feet away.
We go back to that training. Yeah, we don't want it parked where the wall is going to fall on it. That's one of the early training points.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
I wish we would have had a webcam in here just for that minute or so. The look. Stunned and
I'm
then
sorry,
the smile.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. And we'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, what are some of the things you have to watch out for with this new rig? I mean, certainly competencies in operating it, yeah, duh. But
right.
I would think, I mean, does it fit in the firehouse?
Yeah, we did make sure before we ordered it that it will fit in the firehouse. But the angle of departure out of the station, we had to make sure, because it is a tractor trailer, where that pivot point is. Also, when we're operating it, you know, a ladder truck, anytime you set it up, you have to be very well aware of the electrical wires and what's around us. And that's a huge concern. At night when it's foggy, it's tough to see those wires, but it's something we have to be very careful about. And then just the vehicle itself, it is large. It's extremely maneuverable, but it is big, and it takes up a lot of space on the street. The outriggers have a wide spread on it for holding up the ladder, and it has a lot of compartmentation on it. So our firefighters will be around the vehicle, removing equipment, getting into compartments, taking things off. And we need to be aware of the traffic always around us.
When you're running down the street, is it wider than one lane?
No, it fits within a normal traffic lane.
So it's when you come to a stop?
Correct. Yeah, when we set up on scene.
Exactly. And it's just got the big base to support it?
Yeah, it has the outriggers that come out from the side that go down and will support the ladder when we put the ladder up in the air.
So when you're at a stop,
mm-hmm,
or part,
at a scene? Or
incident, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you spread the wings out, so to speak. Do you have it straight? Do you put it at an angle?
We try to put it at an angle because that's the most stability then for the ladder.
The triangle.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that ladder works off that pivot point there is where the weight of it is, where the axle, the tiller connects to the trailer itself. So we'll try to almost jackknife that tractor trailer portion of it, and that's the strongest point, and then we'll work off of that.
How long before the guys are competent rolling around town?
Our first two guys who have undertaken the training, we had two firefighters who are familiar with it from Santa Cruz come up and spend 2 days instructing our guys. Our two are now out and about on the streets, starting to feel more and more comfortable. Just after a few days, we're starting to tighten up that cone course out there at the parking lots. So I think after about a week or so, they're going to start to get to be pretty proficient. And then once they are, then they'll be teaching the rest of the guys. It'll be a train-the-trainer type process.
How do you choose? I know it's a distinction for you guys to have somebody who's driving the truck, that there's a pay grade and you have to qualify.
Our engineers.
What about for this? Is this a step beyond, or is this something different? Because you need two times as many guys to
and
drive.
And we selected two of our best drivers as engineers and two of our most familiar drivers. We picked them to be the trainers. They have a lot of not only, you know, on-the-road experience, but mechanical knowledge, too, of the vehicle and safety procedures. And then so we really want the best of the best doing the training and passing that on.
So the not-so-best of the others drive the regular truck?
No, those are called firefighters, and they don't drive yet. We get eventually they'll promote to engineers once they've gone through their training and been through the courses, have their DMV firefighter license. And it's a long process to be able to operate those rigs. And again, not only driving them, but when you get to the scene of a fire, you have to be able to operate the fire pump.
Yeah, it's kind of like a boat, right? Great, easy fun out on the lake. Then when you come up to the dock,
you need to know how to bring it in. You need
safe.
To know what you're doing. Yeah. Absolutely.
So this will necessitate a couple more engineers to be able to drive the standard vehicles?
Yeah, we are going to be training a lot of our personnel to operate that tiller portion. But they're not going to necessarily be operating the pump on the vehicle. But we want to try to get as many people as we can through the driver training process and have them qualified to drive that tiller portion in the back.
The rest of the vehicle is comparable to your other rigs? Or the hoses are the hoses? And
hoses are the hoses. Pumps are the pumps, yeah. Well, windshield wipers are the same, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Well, yeah. You know, you never know. With this one, do you take the keys out or do you keep it running like you do the other trucks?
It doesn't have a key. None of our trucks
probably
have
shouldn't
keys,
have asked
but,
that one, huh?
Yeah, there's a okay. secret switch to turn them on, and I'm not telling you where it is.
Astute beyond his years.
I get the call tonight that Brian was down at the station trying to start the engine.
Thanks for coming by, Ken.
Thanks.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.